What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here we go. Game one in Chicago. We have lineups and rosters, and the Padres and Cubs are 2 hours away from playing this crucial game one. I mean, they're all critical, but again, game one winners since 2022 when they instituted the wild card series are 12-0 in wild card series. So game one winners have won every series in the history of this wild card format going back to 2022. So John and Jim with you here, special morning edition of the wrap-up show. We're going to get you ready for this afternoon, and then full coverage for you immediately after the game on John and Jim. San Diego Sports 760 in the iHeartRadio app and also on YouTube. Search for John and Jim 760, and then more coverage tonight at our traditional time of 9:30 Pacific. All right, Jim, we have seen the roster. I think the story here is Elias Diaz is not on the roster. He will not catch Nick Pivetta, basically for the first time all year. It will be Freddie Fermin. Pivetta was caught exclusively by Diaz this year outside of one-third of an inning. That one-third even wasn't Fermin this year. So Pivetta will be caught by Fermin. We can get into this lineup and this roster, but that appears to be the biggest story heading into game one from a Padres perspective. Would you agree?
I would agree. Three catchers on the roster.
Yep.
Martin Maldonado and Luis Campusano. If you told me a month ago that Martin Maldonado and Luis Campusano would be on the postseason roster, I'd be like, are you high?
A million to one, I would have said. A million to one odds.
Like, what? Like, there's a what, 10% chance that one of those guys gets in the lineup?
I think there's a decent scenario where one of them appears. It's possible. I mean, absolutely it's possible. One of them could appear in some way.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope that Freddie Fermin stays healthy.
Catches every inning.
He catches every inning.
Yeah.
But I do, think that's the biggest storyline for today, like inside baseball, that Elias Diaz is not on the roster and he's not going to be catching Pivetta. He's his catcher this year. I mean, at the end of the day, this is the big leagues. You know, I get the whole personal catcher thing, but I mean, these guys are pros, and so I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. If it is, then okay. I didn't realize Elias Diaz was that important to Nick Pivetta, but I'm not predicting it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. I don't think anybody's going to really notice. I hope I'm right. I hope I'm right, because if I'm not, that's gonna suck.
I mean, to your point, and by the way, if you're here, guys, please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans, whether you're watching this live or maybe a little bit delayed on replay between now and noon Pacific. Subscribe, smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We'll get to all of your super chats this morning. We appreciate the first one that rolled in from HBBV. We'll get to all the supers. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. If you want to become a member, by the way, brand new Cub Busters emoji. You see it on the screen right now. Click the join button down below. Of course, Cub Busters made famous in that 1984 NLCS between the Padres and the Cubs. If you want that Cub Busters emoji, click the join button down below. But to your point, Mike Schilt said as much in terms of he doesn't expect it to be a challenge. His direct quote is, I don't think it's a huge challenge. Even speaking to Nick prior to yesterday, listen, he's got a good working relationship with Diaz.
Yeah.
But Nick also said, look, I've turned to other people before in my career. Freddie has caught a lot of guys. I don't think it's going to be a real challenge. Nick can think and do for himself. Freddie understands the lineup, and I think they'll work really well together. The one thing I'll say is who's calling the game. Like when we always give credit to like, hey, Pivetta's year is, you know, he's had this whatever sub 3 ERA.
Pivetta is
Nick calling his own game?
That would be my guess.
You know what I mean? Like obviously they've thought this through. They've had 24 hours of dialogue or more on this. So yeah, like, my guess is Nick has a good feel. I mean, Nick's gonna have a good feel for how to attack these hitters, but again, like. For me, it's also via pitch. I mean, they're working in tandem. It'll just be interesting to see if there's any pains in there. You can't have it, is my point. You just, in these short series, in these one-and-done scenarios, not that today's a one-and-done, you got to get off to a good start. Pivetta's been so good first and second time through lineups. It's all on Pivetta for me, Jim. The offense can do its thing, but if Pivetta's Pivetta, you got a chance to follow the formula. He goes five innings plus, you know, one or two runs or fewer. You've got that path. If that doesn't happen, it's more treacherous in terms of trying to win this game.
Yeah, the whole goal today is get the lead after five.
Yep.
The goal. And then turn it over to your bullpen and let them work. You know, that's the whole goal here. That's pretty much the whole goal for the postseason is getting a lead after five, go to your bullpen for, you know, potentially multiple innings with guys. Like if they have a one run lead, John, in the seventh and Jeremiah Estrada's out there and he's struggling a little bit, right? You're going to see Mason Miller for like five outs. Like easy.
As long as Estrada's faced three batters. Yes,
that's true. That's true. You know? But you're going to see, I think today, depending on how the game goes,
That could be a good sign
that I'm sneezing already. Depending on how the game goes, I'm predicting Mason Miller today for multiple innings, more than three outs. Like, if it's a close game, if it's a one-run game, I'm predicting Mason Miller more than three outs.
I agree either way. I think if they're trailing 3-2 or up 4-2, I think you see Mason Miller for more than three outs. Here's the other storyline for me. There's two storylines. The dynamic between Fermin and Pivetta. We agree on the bullpen. It's a strength. They're going to rely heavily on it. Can lefties hit a left-handed dominant pitching staff? Okay, can these left-handed hitters, and there's so many in the lineup for San Diego, as we know, Laureano out, you have five lefties in your lineup. You're facing a lefty that's tough on lefties in Matt Boyd. They then have three left-handed relievers in their bullpen they could go to each and every game if they wanted to. Can the Padres' left-handed hitters hit left-handed pitching and good left-handed pitching enough to win the series? And I think there's reason to believe they can, but they're going to have to prove it to us, obviously, and they're going to have to do it on the road. But, right. You know, is it the ideal scenario to face a Boyd and Imanaga? I think it's a challenge. I think the Cubs bullpen can be a challenge against the Padres. We'll see what the Padres do with their bench in terms of how they utilize it. But just looking at that starting lineup, you're going to have a level of success from your left-handed hitters here today against Matthew Boyd.
Right. Side note, did you see this morning when they put out the first initial roster and Will Wagner was on it and they like deleted the tweet?
I did. I saw that Too Much Mortons tweeted it and then it was gone. Yeah.
Thought that was a little interesting. But anyway,
What do you think happened there? In terms of, was that like a yesterday thing, and they changed their mind maybe in the last handful of hours?
Probably, or someone told the someone
like no, told we changed the,
like
it.
Media department that like, hey, we changed it actually.
Yep.
Anyway, not really a big deal because Will Wagner wasn't going to see any time. the left-handed pitching versus the left-handed hitting in this series is going to be crucial for the Padres. I agree, because you have so many lefties in your lineup. You know, the loss of Ramon Laureano, it hurts because you're not going to be able to break up the lefties like you'd want. Now, looking at the lineup today, it's a pretty standard Padres lineup, but let's just go over it. Fernando Tatis Jr. leading off, Luis Arraez hitting second at first base, Manny Machado's at third, hitting third, Jackson Merrill, Xander Bogaerts, O'Hearn, Sheets, Cronenworth. There's your three lefties in a row there, the bottom of your lineup. And then Fermin's hitting ninth. So, you know, you got four out of five batters hitting lefty there from your four spot to your eight spot. Four out of five spots there are lefties. That's like the lane that they wanted to avoid, but they can't because they don't have Ramon Laureano. So that right there is where the Cubs are looking at, is like, all right, we're going to deploy all of our lefties mostly in that spot right there. And those guys have to hit them, you know, like when Drew Pomeranz is out there or whatever other lefties the Cubs put out there, you know, that part of the order, Merrill, Bogaerts, O'Hearn, Sheets, Cronenworth today, like those guys are going to have to do something against them.
So what is, okay, let's talk about the Padres bench for a moment. And it's not overly
inspiring. Great.
Okay. You've got Maldi and Campy. I mean, Maldi, you haven't seen it forever. There's no scenario in which he's batting. That's not a dream scenario. Mm-mm. Campy doesn't have a hit in the big leagues this year. That would be an amazing story if he came through in the postseason in any capacity. It would be an incredible story. You have Iglesias, you have Mason McCoy, and you have Bryce Johnson.
It takes me back to before the All-Star break when the bench was just flat out god awful. Right?
I mean, Bryce Johnson put together a very nice year, but in terms of having that bat that can deliver a pinch hit, you know, I don't know, something, a double or a home run, you're praying for that with that bench. Is what you, that, it's basically a hope scenario that someone could come through in that capacity off the bench in a series like this.
Well, the thing is, when you look at the lineup, John, you're only going to be pinch hitting for one spot, and that's Freddie Fermin. And if you pinch it for Freddie Fermin, then Martin Maldonado or Luis Campusano is going to be in there. Most likely Martin Maldonado, because they don't trust Campy at all. But
yeah, but Campy would bat and Maldonado would field in that scenario.
True. But I think they would put Bryce Johnson in that situation first. I think he's the first one off the bench. Again, the loss of Ramon Laureano, I hope it doesn't come back to bite them in the ass. But when you look at the bench, it's like, that's what they were hoping to avoid, is a bench like that in the postseason. And this is not a situation where it's like, just get past the Cubs and Ramon Laureano is going to be back and then the bench is... No. He's done for the postseason, most likely. I mean, this is like a 6 to 8 week injury. Postseason's like 5 weeks. So it's just a major bummer. But hey, you're not dealing with double switches here. You're not dealing with a lot of pinch hitting situations. And I mean, Bryce Johnson's probably going to get a pretty big role come, you know, postseason time if they decide to go someone off the bench.
It's not just about, and I agree with you, it's not just about pinch hitting though. These guys will see time potentially late in close games. So if Bryce Johnson comes on as a defensive replacement, or if Jose Iglesias enters a game as a defensive replacement, you better hope that you're preserving those leads, because otherwise, obviously, they're going to come up in the batting order at some point later in a game. HBBV, thank you for the first super of the day. Guys, if you are here live or on replay, please subscribe. Year-round content for Padres fans. We have you covered all day long. John and Jim, wrap-up show tonight. Please subscribe to this channel. He says, skip school today. Tatis and Machado need urgency. We can get into that conversation. And thank you again for the super chat. I think a lot of people are skipping work or school, or will be following along in some form or fashion on a phone or some type of device. I mean, Machado, we talked about this, I think, yesterday on John and Jim, bit back at AJ Casavell's question about urgency. I thought it was a completely fair question. I think they do need to show it. I think the top of the first inning matters. I think this all matters. It'd be nice to get off to a good start. score off Matthew Boyd. Boyd's home numbers are so good. I think you can put a lot of pressure on the Cubs if you take a lead off him. He's 12-1 at home with a 2.5 ERA or better. If you could just scratch across a run, you're going to feel like you've done more than that. So I think an early run off Boyd or an early lead can cause maybe, I don't know about panic in the Cubs, but again, the Cubs are used to winning behind Boyd at home. You got to hopefully take advantage of him early in a game like this. That could potentially go a long way.
Yeah, the whole goal in every postseason game is always to get out to an early lead. That's always the goal in the postseason, especially if you're the road team. Road team, getting out to an early lead immediately puts the pressure on the home team, because then the thought process is like, all right, they're going to get tight. Fans are going to get tight. You can start to feel it a little bit, right? So that's the whole goal. Whenever you're on the road in a postseason series, get out to an early lead. You know, at home, you can trail early, but, you know, it depending on who you are, right? Like, if you're a great home team, like the Padres are, if you get out to a deficit at home, like, yeah, it feels like, oh, here we go, right? But especially when you're on the road, getting out to an early lead, it's crucial. And to your point, like, especially because they're facing a pitcher that has been really good at home. I wouldn't say he's like Paul Skeens like at home, no. Right? He doesn't have like a sub-2 ERA, but the numbers are the numbers, and his ERA at home is in the twos, and he's 12-1 at home. So they win whenever he's on the mound. They win at home. The career numbers that Manny has against Matthew Boyd, I think, are very encouraging. I hope that translates today. And then just, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., just in the postseason in general, his numbers, I hope that translates to today. But wind is blowing in. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Like, wind is officially blowing in today. So that could benefit the Padres, honestly. And yeah, getting out to an early lead, I think, is pretty crucial. Not the last thing, but what you don't want to start out doing is going easy 1-2-3. Like, it's not ideal. It's not the end of the world. This is not going to mean they're going to lose the game if they go a quick 1-2-3 in the first inning on like 9 pitches. But still, you know, make him work a little bit. If you don't score in the first inning, so be it. But make him throw like 22 pitches.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's been good against the Padres this year. 6 shutout innings in a win at Wrigley in April, and then 2 runs in 5 and a third innings also in April at Petco Park. But it has been a while. Again, his numbers at Wrigley are very good. JDMLSR, thank you, man, for the super chat. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Please subscribe, and thank you for the supers. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Thank you to those that are members. Click the join button down below. He says, the only apprehension I have about Nick today is that he doesn't go into his red ass routine and become overcome with emotions like first Boston in August. You're saying if he goes too far, like if it becomes too emotional or too big of a spot potentially, for Pivetta. I think Pivetta's primed for this opportunity. I really do. We'll see if I'm proven correct or not. I mean, Pivetta, by and large, has given the Padres chances to win. Like, as simple as that. Pivetta, by and large, has given the Padres chances to win. He's an emotional guy. I think that probably serves him well, truthfully. And this is an emotional start. I mean, these things matter. It's going to be an amped up environment in Chicago. So I'm all for Pivetta being Pivetta today. I don't think you change anything. If you get the typical Pivetta, you are going to win, you know, 65%+ of the time. And that's what I hope we see today from Nick.
I can understand from the emotion standpoint. Like, the adrenaline will be pumping today. Like, it's, you're going to have to hone it in, especially two guys that have, I mean, I know Pivetta's been in the postseason before, right? With the Red Sox.
Yes, that's correct.
I don't think Matthew Boyd is pitching the postseason ever.
Well, he did last year. He was dominant.
Oh, he postseason. Did.
Yeah.
Boyd?
He was with the Guardians last year. He allowed 1 run in 12 innings.
Oh.
Yeah. He had an amazing postseason.
Oh.
So he's been here as recently as last year and pitched well.
Still, I mean, you saw him yesterday being very emotional.
Yep.
When talking about making the game one start for, you know, kind of the team he grew up rooting for. And then Pivetta, like, I do agree that the emotions are going to be through the roof and you have to control them here and not try to overthrow or, you know, throw a million miles an hour. Like, you have to, you know, go out there and pitch your game. And I mean, of course, these guys are going to be amped. Duh. It's game one at Wrigley Field. I mean, that's a day game at Wrigley Field in the postseason. Like, come on. That's epic. So I hope that, you know, I'm with you. I hope the emotions don't overtake Pivetta and he starts to overthrow and he starts to miss the zone. And then it's like the Cubs are working him and it's like, oh, shit, you know. So quick inning, quick first inning for Nick Pivetta would be highly recommended.
Let's get back to this conversation in a moment. We appreciate all the supers. We'll give you Pivetta's career postseason numbers momentarily because they're good, like Matt Boyd's are. But we do want to remind you about our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. He's been with us on the wrap-up show since day one of the channel, which is now over 4 years old. So if you're a supporter of this channel, please support Mark Nimitz the next time you have any insurance need, whether it's auto, home, renter's life, earthquake, whatever it is. I've got three insurance policies through Mark. He's going to take care of you and your family. Diehard Padres fan. He's been waiting for a moment like this one here today. Padres fan, native San Diegan, great insurance agent. You can take that from us. I've done business with Mark for years. He saved my family so much time and money back in 2022 when we had to file a claim in our place. So again, if you support this channel, please support our title sponsor. Click that link in the description down below. Get free quotes online. Call Mark. He'll talk to you about the Padres. He'll talk to you about saving money on your insurance. Don't call him from 12 to 3 today, but call him any other time. Right. Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, all his information is at the bottom of the ticker there, nimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you. Tigers out to an early 1-0 lead over
behind Tarik Skubal.
Yeah.
They are favored in this series, and they are favored here today in Cleveland. That'll be an interesting series, like they all will be. Okay, here, real quick, we'll get to this from Patrick in 1 second. Nick Pivetta in 2021 with the Red Sox in the ALDS, 8 2/3 innings, no earned runs, 3 unearned. And then the ALCS against Houston, 5 innings, no earned runs, 1 unearned run. In his career, 13 2/3 innings in the postseason, 0 earned runs against Nick Pivetta. So he has been good. It's been a few years, but he was good in some big innings and spots in 2021. Patrick, thank you, man. He says, I was a freshman at Castle Park High in 1984. They played the Padres playoff games over the PA system. I'm an OG Padres fan. I'm ready for something special, boys. I love that. 41 years later, the Padres and Cubs meeting for just the second time ever in the postseason. And the first time since that classic series where the Padres lost the first two games, including game one, 13-0, and still won the series 3-2.
Hey, last time the Padres faced the Cubs in the postseason, they went to the World Series. So hopefully that continues a trend here this year. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of coincidental. Like, I don't know if 1984 applies to 2025. I don't think it does, but it is true that the Padres and Cubs have met in the postseason previously, and they played at Wrigley Field in games 1 and 2 of that series. Vector 53, thank you, says, time to see what this team is truly made of, LFGSD. It is true. Like, all of our, think about the year, Jim. Everything we've said about the Padres since the start of the year, we've said a lot. None of it truly matters now that they're here. They can change trends and narratives very quickly. Manny Machado can go either 0-for-4 today or 3-for-4, and that's going to change what people are saying or continue a conversation. Nick Pivetta can look good or not good. The bullpen can pitch to its capabilities or not. Nothing that's happened previously is overly concerning. Everything that happens from this point moving forward is what matters a lot more. And I can't wait to see what we're saying come 3 o'clock this afternoon about this team. But listen, we don't know, man. It could be Freddie Fermin has 2 doubles and leads them to a victory, or it could be Manny Machado and so on and so forth. That's the beauty of this time of year.
Yeah. Narratives can change very quickly come postseason time. Very quickly. I mean, you could have an awful season and you could come up big in a postseason game or just in the postseason in general, and those narratives change, right? Like, people remember what you do in the postseason more than what you do in the regular season. So if Manny goes out there and he goes bonkers and just lights the world on fire, he had a good regular season, don't get me wrong, but that narrative of him being a bad postseason player will quickly start to go away just this year because he would have to go out there and he'd play well. I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr., he had a really good season. I'm just trying to think of like players that had like bad years that could come up big in the postseason for the Padres. I mean, like
Xander.
Dylan Cease. Here we go. Dylan Cease. He had a bad year, subpar year, right? I mean, not bad, but subpar year. If he goes out there and shoves in the postseason, nobody's going to care about his regular season numbers. Xander Bogaerts, exactly. He did not have a good year. If he goes out there and he rakes in the postseason, nobody cares about his bad season, right? So, like, yeah, narratives can change very quickly come October. The only thing is, like, as a team narrative, as bad as they were on the road this year, that's going to need to flip, like, starting in an hour and a half, you know?
Yeah, I was curious, by the way. I hadn't seen the Cubs lineup until I'm looking at it right now. And, you know, listen, this is a lineup that in the first half of the year was a top five offense in the sport. And then in the second half, I think I was listening to something maybe from Marquee Sports Network, they're about the 20th best offense in the second half of the year. Now, they remind me a lot of the Padres in terms of they have names and they have guys that on paper you say, wow, that you know, worries you a little bit. They haven't necessarily played that way in the second half of the year. But I want to say Seiya Suzuki has homered in four consecutive games coming into the postseason. Kyle Tucker, by the way, returned three games ago. He missed a month, and he returned. Was it a hammy? I think it was a hammy. So he returned three games ago, and they have kept him out of the field. So he's going to DH in game one, which leads me down the path that he's going to DH in the series. But would you agree that like the Cubs have a formidable lineup? I think some would argue it's better than the Padres, but again, in the second half of the year, it hasn't played great, but it's like a fully capable lineup. I would say the same thing about the Padres. It's a fully capable lineup. It'll be interesting to see what we see from the Cubs here in this series offensively.
Yeah, I would say that the Padres have the bigger names in the lineup. Cubs might be a little deeper, but at the same time, on paper, if I'm just looking at like, show me the two lineups.
Yep.
I would think they're pretty even. Mm-hmm. Like if you didn't tell me the numbers of anything, like I would think they're pretty even and I'd probably give the edge maybe to the Padres just because I see Tati, Arise, Manny, Merrill, Bogaerts, yep. Right? Like I think I would just give the edge to the Padres there. So yeah, that's kind of how I look at it. But the Cubs can be dangerous and Seiya Suzuki homering in four straight games, like he's getting hot. And PCA, I know he's had an awful second half, but
he was better recently though.
He was better recently. Yep. That's right. And so I'm like, if the Cubs score six runs today, would I be surprised? No, because the Cubs have been a good lineup all year long.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. I'm trying to think what else in terms of I'm trying to keep an eye on what's being reported here. So again, Padres and Cubs are going to be playing game one at 12:08 Pacific, right? Game one. And then game two is also at 12:08. If there's a third game, that time could change, by the way, in this series. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's get back to this conversation in a moment. Do want to remind you about our friends over at Lucky Box. The next time you're in front of a Lucky Box, you need to take advantage with our promo code. That is Padres. The word Padres, all lowercase. You'll get $5 off your mystery box experience at Lucky Box. I picked up a Fernando Tatis Jr. Auto 10 card in Vegas in July. If you click the link in the description down below, you'll see where all of these machines are. There's tons of them in Vegas. They're coming to Southern California. One's at Chicago O'Hare, JFK in New York, so on and so forth. It's a mystery vending machine. You can walk away with a sports card or a Pokemon card or an autographed jersey. You choose what you're going to walk away with. Then it could be anything. It could be a Jackson Merrill card. It could be a Patrick Mahomes card, so on and so forth. Use our promo code, get $5 off. The promo code is Padres, all lowercase. Click the link in the description down below and find out where these Lucky Box vending machines are. And again, they're coming to Southern California. And the next time you're in Vegas, make sure to find a Lucky Box.
Yeah, or go to luckyboxvending.com. Sign up to be a golden ticket member. You get early location drops, insider perks, and opportunities to win free signed memorabilia. All you got to do is sign up at luckyboxvending.com.
Cubs at home, 50-31 this year. Padres on the road. Jim was just talking about it, 38-43. It is the second season. We'll see if that changes or not. That is a massive storyline heading in. I don't even think it's gotten near the conversation it should. That's the narrative heading in, that the Padres have been a different team at home, 52-29, than they've been on the road, 38-43. The Cubs aren't the best team in baseball at home, but they're good at 50-31. The Padres lost a series in Chicago this year. They lost almost every series they played against teams that are in the playoffs this year on the road, 1-9 officially in those series. That's the hurdle they need to clear. And again, it's a clean slate, but that's the hurdle they need to clear this week in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of stares you in the face when you actually break it down. And you're like, wait, what? 1-9 against postseason teams in the regular season? And if you want to throw in, like, just against winning teams on the road, I think it's even worse.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to throw the Cubs in there. Cubs are technically a team that was over 500 this year, and they lost that series.
Well, Cubs are a playoff team.
Or sorry, no, I meant the Mets, my bad.
Okay, gotcha.
The Mets. Yep.
You're right.
So it's yeah, I mean, 1-10. Maybe they had another win in there somewhere that I'm just forgetting about.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
I don't know, man. That is the part of it that scares me the most. It's not like a, oh, this guy's not playing well, or this guy. It's the team, like the team on the road does not play well, and they're going to have to flip that switch in a huge way. I mean, for a team that did not have more than one series win on the road against winning teams this year, is going to have to win a series on the road to advance in the postseason against one of the better home teams in baseball.
And in general, to further the point, yeah, and to further the point is, like, if you're going to win and, like, have sustained success in the postseason, you're going to need to consistently be able to pick games off on the road, you know, whether it's
– oh, for sure.
You know, it's not just the Cubs series. They would have to win a game in Milwaukee, for example, which they did earlier this year. That's the series they won against the playoff team, and so on and so forth. But yeah, that's the thing that's kind of hanging over them. Like, that's the big, like, elephant in the room. Like, you have not been near the same team on the road than you've been at home, but you can change everything by winning today, you know, beating Matthew Boyd. By everything that we've been saying all year long can change in an instant. If they go out and hit four home runs today, then nobody's going to be talking about them not being a power-hitting team. You know, Jeff Passan yesterday on Baseball Tonight said the reason he didn't like, and I'm paraphrasing, he didn't like the Padres to make a run. He said the game's predicated on home runs. And look at recent postseasons, that will prove it. And the team that out-homers the other is the team that wins. And that's why he doesn't like the Padres, who he said were 28th in baseball in homers. I don't know if it was 27th or 28th. But what I would say is, just because they hit it the 27th best clip in the regular season in home runs doesn't mean they don't hit four in this series,
right?
Or three.
They hit home runs lately, that's for sure.
Yeah, they've been hitting home runs, And yeah, did they have the 50 home run hitters like the Cal Raleighs and the Aaron Judges in their lineup? No, absolutely not. But can Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jackson Merrill hit a home run? Yeah. And this lineup is a formidable one. And with the wind blowing in, maybe that's not even a story. I mean, maybe we don't see a ton of combined home runs in this series.
That's why I think wind blowing in advantage Padres. Because the Cubs, they hit a lot of bombs, or they have this year. So maybe advantage Padres there. That's how I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the wind blowing in might not be the worst thing in the world for you, especially for a starting pitcher. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, winning this series is not going to be easy. And I just think that this game today, I think it's everything. I don't know if they can win two straight on the road. Because they haven't done it all year. Like,
good point.
Against winning teams. Like, they have not won two in a row against winning teams all year long on the road. You know, we look at the Milwaukee series, John, they won two of three, but they lost the middle game in there. So like, not one time this year, not one time on the road have they beaten a winning team two times in a row. Not one time. They have not had back-to-back wins on the road against a winning team all year long. Now, they've had back-to-back wins on the road because they've swept, you know, the Giants, and they have the Rockies in there and the White Sox. Those are all bad teams. You know, and I know I'm cherry-picking the stat, but it's a stat that kind of stares you in the face a little bit when you go, it's not a small sample size. they are not a good road team against good teams. So, like, that's why game one, to me, is so important. Because winning two straight games on the road here at Wrigley Field, if they lose game one, I don't know, you know?
No, I completely agree with you. I think it's spot on. Listen, and we'll get to this from JD Gaucho. Please subscribe, guys. 17 subscribers from 9,700. So please take a moment to subscribe if you're here right now, live or on replay. We appreciate you. And thank you for the supers. I mean, Jim, what are we saying after game one if they lose? What? Not us. What are they saying? What is everyone saying?
Here we go. It's over. Again. Yeah.
What are we saying if they win game one? Everyone's saying, where's the parade? Like, it's all based on today. In the short term, from a fandom perspective, everything is predicated on today's result. You win, cloud nine. You lose, cloud zero.
If you're in hell.
You're in hell. JD Gaucho, thank you, man. We appreciate you. He says, can't be going from 0-4 in 25 to can't be bonds in October. As someone said earlier, and it's kind of funny, like, to have no hits, he's going to pinch hit in game three in like the eighth inning and hit a 3-run home run. Mike Schilt saying today that he would envision using Luis Campusano in an offensive role. You think? if he's going to use him as opposed to, obviously, as a defensive, you know, catching. He's not catching in this series in any scenario, barring emergency situations.
No
so,
chance.
I mean, it is kind of interesting to think that Luis Campusano, Jim, did not have a hit. He had as good of a AAA year as anyone's like ever had as a Padre farmhand.
Building the freaking statue.
He had zero hits in the major leagues, and he's on a postseason roster and could get an at bat in some form or fashion somewhere in the series against the Chicago Cubs. That is absolutely fascinating to me.
I can't tell you how bad I need a Luis Campusano hit in this series.
Oh, if it was a home run, the internet just
burn it down. Like Padres Twitter. Lose their freaking mind, dude. That would be the most amazing thing ever. Now it can't
Campy
happen.
Jersey like, in the car.
Now it can't happen when you're down like 9-0 and like
no.
But if it were to be like, holy shit, 3-run homer, Campy gives the Padres a 5-2 lead.
dude,
Jersey would be purchased, bought on the way. That'd be amazing.
It would be insane.
It would be. You know, insane.
Do you think recent postseason experience has any value? Is that advantage Padres? Cubs haven't been in since 2020, haven't won a game since 2017 in the postseason. Padres have been in a lot. Factor or not?
No. No. And when you don't have any postseason experience,
yep.
Starting at home, kind of takes away like the experience factor, I feel like. I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah.
I've seen too many cases where teams with no postseason experience go on to win. Like it doesn't really, there's no, I feel like correlation of like teams with X amount of postseason experience go on to win 79% of the time, you know, like I haven't seen that number. And my guess is it doesn't really matter. Honestly, I put very little into it.
I would say typically I don't put a ton into home field in these recent wild card series because road teams have wanted as good of a clip as home teams, if not better, since 2022. But I do put stock into it with the Padres until proven otherwise. So I think teams can win road series in the wild card. I think it will happen this year. I think Detroit clearly could be Cleveland and so on and so forth. I don't know about Cincinnati. Right now. Well, Cincinnati do it. Okay, maybe that's a little far-fetched. But I think a road team can clearly win a series here. Again, I think there's reasons to question if the Padres can do it. And we all are here. We broke this down yesterday, Jim. This is a coin flip series. I mean, look at the batting odds. Look at the two rosters. There's advantages and disadvantages both ways. They're similar teams. A lot of people believe it's a three-game series. Some would call it the best of the four wildcard series. The only real clear-cut advantage, as we've talked about over the last 15 minutes, is this home field dynamic or advantage that the Cubs seemingly have heading into this series. You know what's funny to me? So remember we were just talking about the lineup and you and I were both like, they're kind of similar. So MLB.com just did a position by position breakdown. Here, let me quickly do this. Catcher, you think it's advantage Cubs or Padres per MLB.com?
Cubs.
Cubs, of course. Of course, right? It's catcher where the Padres have struggled. First base, Cubs or Padres?
Who's their first baseman?
Michael Bush.
Cubs.
Yep, advantage Cubs. Nico Horner, Jake Cronenworth.
Cubs.
Yep. Shortstop, just what do you think is better, Swanson or Bogarts?
I mean, it feels like a push to me, but I'll go Swanson.
Yeah, Cubs. Now this is where it shifts. Third base is they give Manny the edge. Left field, which is
Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah.
Cubs.
Center, who do you think they give it to, PCA or Merrill?
PCA, just because he's had a more productive year.
They give it to Merrill, which is like proving your point. And then right field, they give it to Toddy.
Oh, yeah, prove my point. Yeah, screw you.
Exactly. DH, they give it to Cubs. Rotation, obviously, we know the answer. Or no, excuse me, we don't know the answer to rotation. What do you think is a better rotation, Padres or Cubs?
Well, Padres, the Cubs have a better rotation ERA than the Padres. So I'll go with they pick the Cubs.
They pick the Padres.
Okay.
And maybe that has to do with the injury to Cade Horton.
Probably, yeah.
And then they go, obviously, bullpen.
Yeah, Padres.
And then you know what MLB.com says in terms of the series? Based on all that? What's your guess?
My guess is...
Padres or Cubs?
My guess is... Cubs in three.
Padres in three. It did feel like it was leaning Cubs with the position players, but they went Padres rotation, Padres bullpen. But they're saying Padres in three. Our official picks are that, right? Padres in three.
Padres in three, yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Put it in the chat, by the way. We can get back to this conversation in a moment. We do want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. Terrific offer going on for you right now. With our friends at SeatGeek, use our promo code by clicking the link in the description down below. The promo code is... PodsWrap, PADSWRAP, for $20 off your first order of $50 or more at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more with promo code PodsWrap. Just click the link in the description, download the app, have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. We do want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. Look at this. They're now putting up the NLDS. That's a little early for me, so I don't want to go down that path as of yet.
Yeah,
but they do have game three of Brewers Padres at Petco up there at SeatGeek. You could buy tickets to this preseason Nuggets game in Oceanside Gym that we've been talking about because they've been advertising for it. You could buy tickets to Survivor Series or the Breeders' Cup, and you can use that $20 off promo code of PADSWRAP by clicking the link in the description down below with our friends at SeatGeek.
Yeah, use our promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP, gets $20 off your first order of $50 or more. So if you're in Chicago, we hope you use our promo code for tickets to game one here. If you're on your way to Chicago for like a game two, use our promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP, for your first order off of SeatGeek.
All right, what do we think the headline is going to be after game one of this series? What are we going to be talking about in 4 hours at 3 o'clock Pacific when Padres Cubs game one has come to an end?
You go first.
I think we're talking about Nick Pivetta. That's what I think we're talking about. I think Nick Pivetta goes five plus, and I think we're talking about Nick Pivetta. That's what I'm hope. That's what I hope we're talking about. I hope we lead with Nick Pivetta, truthfully. I think the best case scenario for the Padres is we lead with their starting pitching. Oh, that'd be good. Can you imagine? Give me five scoreless from Pivetta, and that's what I'll talk about all afternoon long.
Well, Campy can't hit a walk-off home run because it's on the road. Oh, hello, Bentley. My dog is coming.
What's Bentley think?
Oh, he thinks Padres in one.
Well, he thinks Padres.
Padres in one. Bentley, come here, honey. Come here.
Bring Bentley up. Bring Bentley up for this conversation.
Come here. I can't. He's just there. There's a lot.
What do you mean you can't? He's a dog.
Yeah, I know, but it's fine. Whatever. I think the headline after today's game will be Padres dominant bullpen shines.
Ooh.
I think that I'm going to bank on the Padres bullpen leading the way in this series and through the postseason. I mean, it's been the best in baseball, so why wouldn't you lean on that? I think Mason Miller is going to get his coming out party today. If people don't know about Mason Miller, because he was stuck in Oakland and Sacramento for a couple years, right? I think that people are going to start to see, oh shit, this guy is incredible. And I do think that the bullpen will lead the way today. And I'm predicting a dominant performance from this bullpen that will scare the hell out of the Cubs and Cubs fans leading into game two.
Do you think the Padres trust Jeremiah Estrada in their formula with a lead?
Yes, but I only think they trust him with a lead to start an inning. Like, I don't think they're – I mean, I could be wrong, but, like, bringing in Jeremiah Estrada with trouble on the base paths in the middle of an inning, to me, like, I would try to avoid that. I would try
to
avoid
that. He's been so susceptible to the long ball.
Yeah. I think I would – I mean, honestly, I would go with Wandy Peralta over Jeremiah Estrada in that situation. I know it sounds crazy, but for me, I would have Jeremiah Estrada start an inning rather than come in the middle of an inning to try to close it out. But, hey, look, I'm not the manager. He might do something different. That's just me.
How and when – would we see Michael King or Randy Vasquez, in your opinion, in this series?
Tomorrow. If Cease gets blown up in the first.
True. I just wonder what the role is for King, I guess. Because you want to use him in something that matters. You wouldn't want to use him down 8-0 or up 8-0. Like,
no,
in my mind,
no.
Use him.
No.
Like, is there a role for him in something that matters in this series? Like, how could Michael King matter in this series?
How he matters in this series is tomorrow, if Dylan Cease in like the first or second inning has a super high pitch count,
yeah,
a lot of trouble on the base paths, and they're down like 3-0.
He comes in and limits the damage and pitches a couple of innings.
Yeah, because tomorrow is on regular rest for him. So that to me makes the most sense for when we would see King. Anything other than that, I don't think we see him.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Or game three as well, if they get
there. Yeah. I wouldn't want to use him in anything other than something that matters, if that makes sense. I think there's other roles for guys to mop things up or finish things out. That to me isn't Michael King's role. And by the way, if there's no role for him and it's working out well, you can certainly pitch him in the next round if we're fortunate enough to see the Padres advance. But yeah, I agree with you. Like if Cease just isn't right, but it's not awful, there's two outs in the second inning. He's thrown 50 pitches. It's 2-1 Cubs and there's two on. Okay. King comes on, gets out of the inning, pitches the third inning, keeps it at 2-1 or so on and so forth. Yeah, I could see something like that. I mean, he's certainly built up to give you a couple of innings. I mean, there's no world in which Michael King can't give you a few innings if you need him. It's just, remember how we spent the second half of the year, Jim, saying Michael King is the story, right? Without Michael King, the Padres can't win a World Series. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like line that we've heard all year long. Well, they have him. It'll be interesting to see what role he plays for them in winning either this round or winning into the future as well.
Yeah, I really do think that the only time he's used in this series is the scenario that I just gave you. Like early on, Randy Vasquez, to me, he's going to be saved for like extra innings if they get there and they don't have anybody else in their bullpen and they need some bulk.
Mm-hmm.
Michael King, to me, I think is going to be used in game two or game three, depending on how those go. If Cease and Darvish really struggle early on.
Remember what happens in extra innings in the postseason. They play innings.
Exactly.
Thank the Lord. They don't get cute, which I'm all into. You're going to play this thing out like it's real baseball for as long as they need to play it. But you bring up a great point on Vasquez. If you are in a situation where you need to go match for multiple innings late in the game, you're not going to have a lot of guys that you're going to want to turn to for multiple innings late in the game, but Randy Vasquez is built up to be that guy if you need three innings.
Only if they don't use King. I mean, only if they use King, excuse me. If they don't use King for the scenarios that I brought up where it's like Cease in the first inning's throwing like 39 pitches, mm-hmm. right? Then it's King instead of Vasquez late innings.
Yeah, I can see
if
that.
If they got there as well. And extras, excuse
right.
me.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't go to Vasquez over King and extras if they're both available.
Right. Exactly.
Or, you know, maybe another scenario is if they've blown through their bullpen and they're in extras, maybe they would go to Vasquez and use King as a closer.
Okay. So you preserve a tie and then you take a lead and then King is pitching the bottom of the last inning in that hypothetical.
Right.
It's always interesting to see guys that don't necessarily do those jobs pitch in those roles.
But who would you rather have closing the game, Vasquez or King? If those are like the only guys that you have left?
King, because Vasquez traditionally pitches with traffic. He's been better here recently. He's had some really good outings. But Vasquez pitches with traffic. You know, King, I mean, I don't even know what to think on Michael King right now. I really don't. Like, I have no idea.
I could also see a scenario where if a game were to get to extras
mm-hmm.
and they've used all of their top guys, right? I could see Bradley Rodriguez being put in a situation to close out a game in like the 13th inning.
If the Kings have already been used.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would go like if you had, you know, Wandy, Morahone, Estrada, Miller, Suarez, all those guys have been used.
Yeah.
Right. And you get to the extra innings and King's pitch two innings. You take the lead. We're in like the 13th inning. Depending on how King's pitching. But I do think Bradley Rodriguez could be in that situation. Like if King goes out there and gets maybe one or two outs and then you have Bradley Rodriguez close out. I don't know. I just thinking out loud, but
it's interesting. Yuki Matsui's not on the postseason roster, which to me makes sense. Like you have your five starters. If you're in a blow up or mop up situation, who cares is what I would say. And I'm with you. Bradley Rodriguez's upside is obviously significant. And we've seen it in September and he's pitched very effectively and he's got all the stuff you could ever want. He just happens to be young. So you just kind of rely on the stuff over the experience if you need to. And yeah, I think Bradley Rodriguez will appear. I think we're going to see a ton of relievers in this series, obviously both ways, but specifically for the Padres. I think the trade deadline was about using your bullpen in a variety of ways in the postseason. That's what the trade deadline, that's what Mason Miller was about. Yes, you lost Jason Adam. which changes the math a little bit on it, but you have more than enough to use your bullpen more than your rotation. I mean, think about that. They'll use their bullpen more than their rotation potentially over the next 3 days. They could get more outs from their bullpen than they do from the rotation. And that's the huge advantage that the Padres have that teams in baseball don't necessarily have.
Yeah. I mean, you got it. You might as well use it, you know,
right?
Depending on how your starters go. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, the decisions that Mike Schilt makes when it comes to potentially, if you have a starter that is about to go through the lineup for a third time, and if he's pitching well, what does he do? Does he let it ride? Or does he say, nope, I'm not taking a chance. I'm going to the bullpen.
My hunch is he goes to the bullpen after okay, hear me out. Nick Pivetta's gone five innings, allowed one solo home run, and leads 3-1.
It's and how many pitches is he throwing? How many pitches is he throwing?
Not a lot.
Actually, you know what? Pitches 70, don't even matter. Who cares?
It doesn't matter. 70. Okay, he's faced 18 batters. So two up in the sixth is 1-2-3. He leads 3-1. I think he starts the inning. If anyone reaches, bye-bye.
100%. Yeah.
That's 100%. The strategy. Now, you could argue, go to your bullpen right there. Why risk someone reaching and now the tying runs at the plate against your Estradas and your Morahones and your Millers? But I still can trust my bullpen, I think, in that spot. And I'm willing to give Nick Pivetta that one extra batter if he's five innings of one-run baseball and sent down like 12 straight since like a solo home run the second inning.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that if that scenario were to happen, the pitcher that I would have come in to put out any fires would be Adrian Morahone. That's my put out fire guy in that situation. That's what I would do.
Yeah. He's been awesome. Yes. There's been a couple of hiccups, but he's been awesome. He's as good of a reliever as there's been basically in baseball. He's been awesome. Yeah.
And then if that scenario plays out, right, you get to the fifth or you get to the sixth inning, Pivetta is pitching well. And, you know, yeah, like you said, up 3-1, you know, gets a runner on, gets an out, maybe gets another runner on, 2-1, 1 out, go to Morahone there, hopefully get out of that inning, start Estrada clean next inning. And if he runs into any trouble as well, hopefully you get at least 1 out from him. Then Miller can give you 5. And then I'm going Suarez in the ninth.
The game that we've played a lot this year, and it's worked out by and large, but right? it has been at times an adventure. Suarez.
And it's crazy too, because like you saw what the Padres tweeted out today about Mason Miller. I mean, he's the reliever
of the month.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just want to read you these numbers here real quick.
Yeah, please do.
In the month of September, 11 games.
Okay.
12 and a third innings pitched. A 0.00 ERA. One hit allowed. 26 strikeouts. A 0.027 opponent batting average. 5 holds, 1 save.
Just filled. 26 strikeouts in 12 and a third innings. How many outs are in 12 and a third innings, Jim? 37. There's 37 outs. He got 26 of them via the strikeout.
And he allowed one hit.
One hit in 12 and a third innings.
I mean, I would seriously, if Suarez has any problem in game one, I'm seriously considering Mason Miller as my closer.
Forget if he has any problems. I'm seriously considering Mason Miller.
That's true.
Here's my hypothetical. It's 3-1. Listen to me. 3-1 in the eighth inning. Miller goes 1-2-3 in the eighth. Can't start the ninth?
Oh, he'll 100% he can start the ninth.
100%. No, I know he can, but will they start him in the ninth? 3-1 Padres. Yes. He goes 1-2-3 with 2 strikeouts in the eighth. Does he start the ninth?
I would hope so. Look. I know he's not a rental. Like, he's your closer of the future. Okay.
Yeah.
And you have to have to protect him. You traded a lot for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, because you traded a lot for this guy, and he hasn't been like overworked this year. He isn't. I mean, it's not like he leads the league in appearances. Don't you kind of want to try to maximize him here? Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's like the opposite of Josh Hader, where Josh Hader's like, I'm only giving you three.
Right.
Mason Miller is like, can we get five? Can we get five outs from you? Shit, if you're pitching well, can we get six?
I like it. Listen, if he goes a scoreless, clean, quick inning, he's getting a second inning.
100%.
Like, I don't really care if you, Suarez is your closer or you think he's – it doesn't matter. It's like team over anything else. So if you've got a 3-1 lead in the eighth, he goes 1-2-3, he starts the ninth inning. And he's going to go 1-2-3 in the ninth. In all likelihood, you're going to win the game.
Can Miller pitch every inning?
Well, there's been talk of that, him starting, obviously, in the future, but that remains to be seen. All right, let's get back to the conversation. Do you want to thank our friends over at Underdog? They've got a terrific offer going on right now for our viewers. In fact, if you play $5, you're getting $50 in bonus funds with our promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. In addition, you're getting a 50% deposit match up to $1,000 with our promo code. And you're getting a free gimme pick, and you can use that gimme pick today in the wildcard series, higher or lower than a half total plate appearance, for example, for Manny Machado. Pair that with any other pick, and you can win up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. So the best and easiest place to play is at Underdog Fantasy. Use our promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. Get the $50 in bonus funds, get the 50% deposit match, get the free gimme pick. Click that link in the description down below.
Yeah, and the QR code above my head, scan it. It'll take you to the App Store. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and use our promo code when signing up, PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP.
All right, let's lay this out for you today. Join us once the game ends on John and Jim. I'm not an idiot. Don't join us until the game ends. You're not going to be with us when the game is happening. The second though the game ends, switch to John and Jim. We will hear from Mike Schill. We will hear from Craig Counsell. We will hear from the Padres. We will hear from the Cubs. We will react in real time for hours this afternoon on John and Jim. You can find us on San Diego Sports 760. You can find us on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us by searching on YouTube for John and Jim 760. We'll have full reaction once the game goes final. Somewhere around 3 p.m. Pacific would be our guess, but we'll see. Extras or who the hell knows. In addition, we're back with you on this channel tonight. Win or lose, no matter what happens, we will be here with you tonight at 9:30 Pacific, reacting to it all again following game one. So be with us on the wrap-up show. And please, if you have not subscribed to this channel, we are 16 subscribers from 9,700. We're about 300 away from 10,000. We want to get there this postseason. Please take a moment to subscribe to this channel. We are here for you in season, out of season, and in the postseason. So please do subscribe to the channel. Smash the like button for us. Follow us at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks. If you have not yet become a member, please do that by clicking the join button down below and support our partners, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, our friends at Hamul Casino and Lucky Box, also at SeatGeek and Underdog Fantasy. We'll catch up with you this afternoon on the radio, tonight on the wrap-up show. For Jim, I'm John. Go Padres. Game one is here. What'd you say?
Woosah. Said stay safe. Woosah.
We are 1 hour out. Enjoy. Peace.